Now we come to a very interesting technique called cool hunting. See, what is happening is conducted research of the youth demographics, as they say. And what is happening is the frequency of change that a youth brings in his own life is far more than frequency of a settled individual that brings in his life. Today, so many products, the market is aimed at this category of people in the society. Now, to know them, while you bring the product, it may be very difficult to really get into understanding the traits and, likes and dislikes, etc. Certain agencies keep doing this, what you call cool hunting, and they keep meeting these youngsters, they keep collecting inputs from them, etc. And these findings are available so that you are able to derive certain trends, emerging trends, etc., emerging changes happening in the buying, etc. So all this thing is possible through cool hunting. Cool hunters compile the data and produce a report after they collect from the youth who are a part of their panel. Again, it's a panel based, where youth are involved. It may be a regular panel or a project based panel that has been formed. These reports are sold to the company. So target youth is involved in this daily, and their weekly this thing, and these things are monitored. At times they are collectively called, discussion happens, and all these things is compiled as a report, which report is sold to interested organization. So same report may be consumed by two different Cadbury makers or three different digital TV makers, etc. So that's how the cool hunting or retail garment industry guys, etc. So they get into buying of these cool hunting reports. It's much more than the simple market research, because subject is of interest. The technique that they have to use may be more than one. So it cannot be only on interview. It may be interview and FGD. So that's another differentiator. A teen and preteen market is often referred to as a stubborn demographic market. And therefore, their response, their way of response, the change of affecting them, which is going to have a larger impact on the future market, etc. Therefore, they become very critical, and therefore marketeers wants to remain on the top of it by gathering the information, and therefore they resort to cool hunting reports being purchased. Typical methods, cool hunting could be a focus group discussion where people are invited of a uniform homogeneous groups, and various moderated questions are raised onto them, their views are discussed. And based on that, certain change in the behavioral parameters, the likes, dislikes, etc. are determined. Many times the cool hunters are also planted to be among the group to ensure that the group it is not vague or manipulative, etc. So these are some of the cares that the cool hunting companies do at times. Undercover cool hunters. Here cool hunters will often seek out individuals from within the target group who are targeted as a leader. They will then hire these individuals to be undercover. Means others will not know that he is a cool hunter. He will be among people, he will collect information, talk to peers, be with the peers when he goes for buying, talk to him why he bought, what he bought, how he went about selecting and all. And from this is how he tries to extract changes that is happening, what he visualizes is impacting the change, etc. And that's what he presents to the agency as a learning, and that overall when collected from different undercover cool hunters emerge as one inference, and which is useful to third marketing companies. And online cool hunting, it's a typical online cool hunting. Cool hunters will enter a chat room, web room or etc., webcast, etc., and then they will discuss among them, which is moderated discussion or many time an open discussion or many time curated discussions, etc., to know certain things. So that's the challenge of a online cool hunting, but that's a growing popular method these days. So cool hunting is another technique that we have understood. Come to the segmentation research. So we now study the next technique, segmentation research. As the name suggests, it is linked with understanding the segmentation, obtaining desired clarity, understanding about marketing segment. go to segmentation, within segmentation, etc. It covers. Yeah. Segmentation thus can be done demographic factors, geographic. There are seven ways by which you can do your segmentation. Yeah. This research techniques will help you to frame and get you the data that will help you to determine what approach you should take. Having taken that approach, then under that you require certain information. It provides you that kind of information. So as the end of it, you are able to develop a sound segmentation. So multi-segment, this thing picture may emerge. It may even help you to decide on target of the segments that you should be focusing on, etc. So overall, like, you have demographic, geographic, socio-cultural, behavioral, etc. kind of parameters which are studied, linked to their purchase behavior, buying behavior, etc. And then you derive at a emergence of a unified segment. And that is a result of the research at the end of this thing. Cluster analysis, discriminant analysis, and factor analysis. These are the three ways in which segmentation research is carried out. So, friends, essentially, remember, we are not supposed to understand the statistical calculation or this as such. We are supposed to understand the essence of the different tools available to do the segmentation technique, yani, segmentation research. So these are the three tools, yani, cluster analysis, discriminant analysis, and factor analysis. There's a statistical technique that has been used to facilitate the segmentation analysis. Segmentation is what? Yani? Where you try to build a homogeneous group. Homogeneous group will separate out few people among the population who behave like same things, etc., behave similarly, etc. Now, this is applicable on individuals. It can be applicable on other areas also. And so that's a segmentation research using these three techniques of statistics. And so we'll try to see if it makes sense to briefly understand them without really getting into the statistical part of calculation, etc. Cluster analysis. Market segmentation is usually based not on one factor but on multiple factors. Initially, each variable represents its own cluster. The challenge is to find the way the combined variables form a homogeneous group. Income is a separate cluster, caste can be a separate cluster, religion can be a separate cluster. Income can be a separate, so these are the separate parameters. However, when you study them more closely and their interlinking, certain homogeneous cluster may form. You know? So there may be a people of a certain religion with certain income, liking certain nature of products may become a reality. So when you find that out, then you know that this is a market that I can approach. This may be the approximate number. And this is needed to approach them. Yani. Which marketing mix you need to tweak to influence this particular category, all this can be decided. So that's a very suitable approach for a segmentation research. Suitable as an exploratory research. Yani. A lot of secondary data is available on various demographic and geographic front, etc. You can probably explore. You can use an exploratory approach to derive your segmentation. So that's the one advantage by using a cluster analysis technique. Cluster which are homogeneously formed should be internally homogeneous and externally heterogeneous. Yeah. So internally homogeneous means as a segment you have determined them. Outside world they are where they are. Yeah. So they are heterogeneously spreaded. Yeah. For you they are homogeneous because you could derive certain link between their religion, caste, creed, color, income level and buying behavior. And the likes and dislikes, etc. Cluster analysis is one way to accomplish this goal. Rather than being a statistical test, it is more of a collection of algorithm, etc. So, it's like the way it has been done. So, let's not worry too much about it. Steps involved, yeah, again, you will see often that this is more or less same as the research process. But you define your problem, collect data. So, here only care is when you collect data, you need to know the variables. Because cluster, there are so many variables. Yani. So, you need to really determine which variables to have. Determine the linkages. So, you will decide, ke I will study religion, caste, creed, color, association with income and the likes, etc. So, these are that linkage and nodals are points are decided. You need to determine the ideal number so that sample size does not become too large, impacting your cost, vis-a-vis it is not too minimal to not get the desired understanding, etc. Profile the cluster and then assess the validity of the cluster. So you will have certain hypothetical clusters in mind, and you will then collect data and then you will do the validity of that. So that will create an emergence of a segment for you. As such, discriminant analysis, that's another technique within segmentation research. Analysis of a difference in the means between the groups provide information about the individual variables. So we have the means calculation, as we say. Here in the discriminant analysis, various cluster groups are studied, means are derived, and then the means are used to derive whether there is any linkage between the two means. If that is the case, then you are able to derive a certain homogeneousness between the two different cluster or different groups, and therefore you are able to then decide that this forms my segment as such. Which variable discriminates between the two or more variable group, discriminant analysis is used. So different clusters based on caste, creed, color, based on income and accommodation styles and lifestyle, etc. In all this thing, probably when you do it, there will be something which is determining discriminates between the two or more variables. And that understanding will give you an idea as to within that heterogeneity, what is the homogeneous aspects. So you arrive at a specific nature of segments that you are able to determine using the discriminant analysis. Can we derive which variable are the best predictor of the membership? So that will help you to also determine in future that what are the best predictable criteria that you should monitor. Essentially, discriminant function problem is one way ANOVA problem, in that one can determine whether multiple groups significantly differ from one another with respect to the means of a particular means. So ANOVA is again one of the technique to validate the overall result, etc. So discriminant analysis use ANOVA. And then from there, it tells you that finding of the this thing is representative of the group or away from the group, etc. So that's the way that the discriminant analysis helps you. Again, the steps, I am not getting into it. Formation of the problem, decide the discriminant, variable dependent, etc. Collect data and interpret. And factor analysis. Factor analysis is the analysis of a very popular technique. And it's, of course, a very popular technique for products and all. Also, this has been used to derive at the features of the product, its association with certain specific aspects of it. So, in automobile, it is used tremendously. Factor analysis studies the entire set of interrelationship without defining variables to be dependent or independent. It will study each and everything independently. It will not create an interlinking or a dependency on other variable. Combines variables to create a smaller set of factors. Having studied them, it then tries to combine what is closer to what. And that's how they try to pull out those aspects and create one homogeneous this thing group for you. So that's what the factor analysis is. It's a statistical tool, of course, so therefore I'm not getting much into it. But it is a way that the technique is used and helpful in helping you with the segmentation research. Next is the sales forecasting, very important. It's also in detail. We will study them. So what is sales forecasting? I'm not getting into it. It's like your ability to predict your future sales. Now, having done that, how reliably you could predict, how close to your achievements, etc., you are, a target versus achievement and all that, they will determine your quality of your predictions, etc. Therefore, a lot of time that goes into sales forecast by most of the companies, be it proprietary, be it multinational, etc. So, to arrive at a realistic estimate of your sale in the future, various internal data, various past trends, etc. are being used. However, then there are certain ways that you go into doing it. There are qualitative methods, jury or executive opinion method. These are the qualitative methods, where you get in. If suppose your product is of a such nature, which is very difficult to forecast, on a regular this thing, ki what is going to happen in future, speed of acceptance and various other areas. So then you get into what you call jury or executive opinion method. Here a few experts are collectively met, product and problems are discussed, market conditions are shared, and then their opinions are taken as to what could be the forecasted this thing for the product. So that's how that jury or this thing gets into. They can comment on various areas, right from the product to forecast to the profitability to other aspects of the forecasting needed for the sales forecast. Delphi I method. It is generally done when you do not probably have the past trends to your disposal, you do not have the past data to your disposal, you do not have the similar product in the past kind of thing. I have used this in my life say only twice. Once I remember this was when the computers were getting launched in our country. So IBM approached and we proposed the Delphi I technique where at that point of time, because computers again were not there in the forefront market and nobody was using computers. Only thing we knew that we were told that there is a desktop, there is a large machines which can corporates can use, supercomputer. Although we got in meeting the marketing heads, we got in meeting the CEOs, etc. And we created formed a panel of expert who probably can give us a right insight. So that's a Delphi I method. It's a right thinking group. Even in this techniques, the findings at times get revolved, among themselves. So collective feedback, then group opinion is something, where the individuals, there are certain individuals who differ on it, etc. So the feedback is shared with them. Now it is up to them to stick to their opinion, or they may say, okay, I will want to align with what group feels, etc. That's how. So maybe series of two or three rounds that you undergo for such kind of arriving at the estimation, post which you are able to forecast some amount about the new product, new technology product, etc. There are certain objective methods which we use the sales forecasting. Time series projection method. Time series is a general trend, demand projection is based on the time series generate sales and revenue on the historical data, as it says. The advantage of this is like it can get into your trend, it can take into account your seasonal or cyclical factors, erratic events, and consumer responses, etc. So this, when you are able to bring into your forecast, you are able to get a very specific nature of a good forecast. Trend projection method, this is a time series projection. Trend projection is like when you have a multiple product involved, line involved, mix is large, etc. You have historical data, but the historical data is say not aligned to the current environment, etc. And then in such case, you get into what you call the trend projection. So doing a mobile sale or doing the online selling projection based on historical data is not right. On time series projection method, it may not work, because the trend is that more and more people are falling into buying online, more and more houses are buying food using food apps, etc. So any projection of food apps, this thing done on a time series projection may not yield right result. It should get into so called trend projection, because you have to also forecast adoption of this into the common lifestyle of the consumers, and therefore its impact on the number. Objective method is the exponential smoothing method. Method which simplifies certain aspects. In exponential smoothing method, sales revenue forecasts are modified by examining potential errors in observed historical demand. Historical demand due to onset and offset of recession, or VRS scheme within the organization, or heavy marketing promotion, etc., or a launch of a new product by competition, whatever. All those things are kind of taken into account. So therefore the smoothening is done for the data, and then the data projections are taken into account with an assumption that the similar and likewise scenario may not repeat. So what you get is a derived average expected sales projections, etc. It is not free of any hampering that may happen during the future course of action due to change in environment. Moving average method, there are various products who are either cyclical in nature, they are governed by the constant inputs of promotions, or they are like, you know, seasonal in nature, etc. Now, such and similar products, generally a moving average method is used. So, regularly over a period, predetermined period, the average is found out, and that average is applied to the future period to get that future forecasting in a very simple common layman term that I have tried explaining. Casual methods takes a statistical correlation between approach to develop sales and demand forecast. So what are the casual methods? So far whatever that we were studying was objective method. Now there is a casual method, chain ratio method. It applies to series of factors for developing sales and demand forecast, in which the quantitative impact of each factor is layered upon another in a structured analytic approach. So there is a ratio that has been generally worked out. So two factors are related to each other in a ratio manner. You in a casual manner find out that ratio, and then you know that projection of one thing. Therefore you derive at a projection of the another thing. So today if you can derive a ratio between a number of mobiles being sold to the income, salaried income individuals. Now, you know what is going to be the growth in the birth rate of India, and therefore the earning age of Indians are male, and therefore what population will enter into that league every year, that you can determine, so that you can then, it is easy for you to find out what could be the demand for the mobile phones, etc. All said and done, not as easy as I am trying to make you feel, but yeah, that's one approach that one takes, ratio analysis. Consumption level method, again, is a casual level method. This method is useful for a product that is directly sold and consumed as fast as moving consumer goods, or say like telecom users. Consumption level is based upon elasticity and coefficients such as income elasticity or demand elasticity. So they are linked. And accordingly, then the future projections are arrived. End use method, again a casual one of the method, where develops a sales and demand forecast based on the basis of consumption. So there is a consumption coefficient of product or service are done with the help of end users, certain parameters, and then these are monitored. So once you have the one parameter fixed, the second parameter, which would be demand for your sales, can be derived. Leading indicator methods, again, there are certain leading indicators. So there is a leading indicator and there is a causal indicators. There is a change in lagging demand variables. So there is a lead indicators impact the lagging this thing. Demand of car impacts the demand of tires. So today the fall in car market also results in fall in the tire market, etc. So there is a leading indicator method. So you come to know as a tire manufacturer, automobile industry is forecasting so much of a growth or so much of a degrowth or whatever, you accordingly align your sales forecast. You may be having a good marketing team, you may be having a very efficient salespeople, you may be having a very aggressive network, but if automobile sale is not going to grow, your sale is not going to again grow for sure. So that's that lead indicator, so lead and lag model. There are certain industry which is a leading industry, certain industry which is a lagging industry, and that's what determines the overall effect on the sales forecast. Reasons for undertaking sales forecasting, that's a very important reason, because on that key decisions are happening. Key decisions like investment, employment, promotion mix, etc., production capacity, expansion of the production capacity, technical investment needed. If you want to jump in your production, maybe robotics are needed. So all these things depends on the sales forecast that you visualize for your product or product mix or your organization's overall product range. sales forecasting selection on the basis of types of forecasting method to choose dependent upon the degree of accuracy. So what makes the sales forecasting good? And degree of accuracy is very important. Availability of the data and the information required. Various techniques we have discussed, which need certain data. It depends on your selection of a technique, depends on what data available to you. Time horizon that it takes to forecast the sales and the position of the product in the life cycle. Very important aspect. If the product is in the growth phase, so new product generally you take initially high growth, then tapering, then the falling of the sale, etc. So at what life cycle stage your product is, etc. That also are some of the factors that needs to be factored into in your sales forecasting. Methods for preparing sales forecast. How do you go about? So first you have to have the understanding of the macroeconomic forecast. What is happening in the world? World economy, the continent economy, the country economy, overall core sector performance and those things. So you need to really build your macroeconomic forecasting capabilities. Then you come to derive the industry parameters. So how are the industry parameters? How are they looking? How are they formed? So all those things are going to give you a picture whether things are aligned as towards the growth, things are aligned towards restricting the growth, or things are aligned to create a fall in the market, etc. Prepare company sales forecast. So now that you are able to do this, you will be able to predict the forecast for each product line. Each product line will give each product mix and the range forecast, category brand forecast, then it may be an SBU forecast, and SBU forecast creates a organization forecast. So this is how the forecasting go about. Very important in the cycle of any marketing guy, and almost 3 to 4 months before the next financial year which is going to start, it generally gets triggered and involves a lot of interactive sessions. Then we come to what we call demand estimation. Demand estimation, as the name suggests, first stage in the sales forecasting, estimation of the market demand. Sales forecasting, as you said, is one end is the what will you sell, but demand forecasting is that what is the demand in the market for your product. So demand in the market is over generally higher than your sales forecast. It creates an understanding about the gaps that is being left out, unattended, untapped, and accordingly your other future investment and other strategy also can be derived. So it's a linked estimation. Both estimations operate in sync. Estimation of the market demand, estimation of the company demand, and development of the sales forecast. So this is how it is linked also. So many times after you do your various ways of sales forecasting in the manner earlier mentioned, then the tweak happens by the management based on the demand forecasting. So if management sees a gap due to growing demand, but less of supply capacity available, production capacity available, then company may ask you to sell more because they see that gap, and that gap needs to be bridged, and there's an opportunity. So that's how the linkage is. Sales forecast will be based on 3 types of information. What customers say about their intention to continue buying your product, are actually doing in the market. They tell you something, but what they do it in the market, and what customers have done in the past. So how have customers reacted to your promotion offer, discount offer, and various things. So new product launches, etc. So these are the 3 type of parameter based historical information is also needed. We now come to what you call market analysis. Again, a very important subject. Sale analysis, we have demand forecasting, we have seen demand forecasting, we have seen marketing analysis moves above and gives a complete perspective of what's in the market. It also takes into account the competitive forces and the parameters. Documented investigation of a market, planning activity, production, inventory, workforce, capital investments, etc. So what investment has come in the market, what money is withdrawn in the market, what changes are happening, which category is moving, why preferences are shifting, why buying habits are changing, why buying sources are changing, etc. So all these things are the matter of marketing analysis. It helps you to evaluate areas under marketing and sales that is performance driven, impacting your future, and covers market, sales and sales forecasting, etc. So you're doing your sales forecast, you're gauging demand, etc. without knowing that preference is changing not towards your product, but preference is changing towards substitute products, then you will be in a soup. You know? So the marketing analysis also reveals you such kind of thing. It tells you the opportunity, tells you the threat that you have. All this thing you can factor into your projections, create a healthy, motivated forecast, which will really, really give a boost to the team to work for, because that's where their money is also linked, etc. So market analysis therefore plays a very vital role also, and equally important to sales and demand forecasting. Market evaluation. Take into account the market, the potential, the performance, what has happened in the past, the new opportunity, threats, etc. I have discussed this with you. So I'll be a little quick. Sales analysis. So entire collective sales perspective is covered in the marketing analysis. How the overall category has grown, how the substitute has grown. It gets into that entire category perspective very well. What led to the sale, what led to the fall, etc. So, for example, like as they say, Kodak was not able to foresee the impact of digital cameras. Even that needs to be taken into account when you do your market analysis, and then accordingly plan your way forward. Sales forecasting under marketing analysis, we have covered a lot on the sales forecasting. It helps you really to forecast, and your forecast will determine your production, the inventory, the distribution challenges, etc. Recalibrating forecast based on then the demand estimation, then the market condition, etc. will really help you to arrive at a very achievable, likely forecast which everybody can gun for. Methods of sales analysis. You do sales analysis by territory. So every company has its own way of territory defining. It could be on a region, it could be on district, color, cluster, etc. So that's a territory wise. By product, so you product category wise, SUV, MUV, hatchback, sedan, this is say like by product, and as you say, by customers, so consume B2C or B2B, etc. So nature of customers and whom you sell what, etc. determines. That's the way also you can do. Order size, large customer, small customer, you know, institutional customer, non-institutional, institutional government, and you know, retail customer. That's how the differentiation happens. So the sales analysis also can be done in that manner. So friends, we have with this understanding of different techniques of marketing research, which is primarily a valid defined approach to doing certain standard marketing research based aspects, and market research has evolved to provide these techniques very well to any company who's seeking it, and we have studied them. Thank you.